Addiction inevitably involves loss, including executive functions, health, pleasure from everyday life, productivity, and often relationships. There has been a paradigm shift to a more complete model of addiction that combines negative and positive reinforcement. Addiction impairs an individual's capacity to prioritize behaviors yielding long-term benefits over immediate rewards, and the growing challenge in controlling these behaviors, even when they carry severe consequences. Although many factors contribute to substance use disorders, stress and deficient dopamine receptors may be crucial. Abused drugs cause direct and indirect dopamine release at the nucleus accumbens. While dopamine begins the reward cascade, addiction involves diverse neurotransmitters. Craving is one of the most dangerous threats to sobriety. Craving emerges from a complex network of subcortical and cortical projections. The loss of brain volume due to apoptosis contributes to hypofrontality, impairing an addict's ability to resist craving and causing relapse. Neurofeedback is an evidence-based treatment for substance use disorder. The Scott Kaiser modification of the Penniston Protocol plus rehabilitation for substance use disorder has achieved a rating of probably efficacious, comparable to accepted medical treatments. This second installment focuses on the neuroscience of addiction and the efficacy of neurofeedback interventions. Alcohol is cunning, baffling, and powerful, the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. A paradigm shift. The view before 1969 was that addiction is fueled by drug dependence. This negative reinforcement model proposed that addicts ingest their next dose to avoid or escape unpleasant withdrawal effects. Negative reinforcement strengthens the behavior it follows. For example, an addict's coke runs can increase the likelihood of drug use by forestalling a cocaine crash. This is different from punishment, which weakens the behavior by following it with an aversive consequence. A tragedy of addiction is that punishing outcomes like arrests, job loss, and overdoses often cannot overcome drug craving. The negative reinforcement model was incomplete because addicts crave drugs after completely withdrawing from them. For example, Vietnam War veterans who had become addicted to high-purity heroin during their service suddenly relapsed after years of sobriety while back in the U.S. A more complete model of addiction emerged when researchers demonstrated that non-human animals will self-administer virtually all the addictive drugs abused by humans. The revolutionary new view was that a drug's reinforcing properties are due to its actions at specialized receptors. If you breed animals without the necessary receptor, they won't self-administer the drug. These studies showed that animals will 1. Inject abused drugs without physical dependence. 2. Prefer the place where they received the drug. 3. Expend considerable effort to obtain more of the drug. 4. Still work for the drug if it produces aversive consequences like shock. 5. Relapse after withdrawal when exposed to stressors, drug cues, and the original drug. Which other species does this resemble? The circuitry of addiction. Dopamine encodes information about stimulus salience, relevance, including rewards and threats. The prefrontal cortex, PFC, evaluates craving-related information in response to drug-related cues. Networked structures include the orbitofrontal cortex, OFC, anterior cingulate cortex, ACC, and nucleus accumbens, NAC. The hippocampus, HPC, insula, central nucleus of the amygdala, and the bed nucleus of the striatum terminalis, BNST, consider affective states, context, and stress when processing craving-related information. The nucleus accumbens. Drugs like cocaine and morphine interact with brain circuits that naturally process needs like hunger and thirst, thereby redirecting motivation to prioritize drug-seeking behaviors over essential physiological needs. Using advanced imaging and molecular techniques, Tan and colleagues identified the nucleus accumbens, NAC, as a critical area that integrates responses to natural and drug rewards. They found that drugs activate overlapping neuron groups with natural rewards but more intensely and disruptively, leading to enhanced activation with repeated use. The researchers showed that both drugs engage two types of NAC neurons, those expressing D1 and D2 dopamine receptors. Cocaine primarily activates D1 neurons, whereas morphine stimulates D1 and D2 neurons. Over time, cocaine increasingly amplifies D1 neuron activity, while morphine amplifies both types, suggesting that these drugs manipulate the brain's reward processing differently but within the same neural circuitry. During drug withdrawal, these patterns reverse, with cocaine withdrawal causing decreased D1 activity, reducing the response to natural rewards, and morphine withdrawal increasing D2 activity, often linked to negative effect, which may explain withdrawal's aversive effects. A critical molecular finding is the role of the protein Rheb in the NAC. Rheb, part of the mTOR signaling pathway, seems essential for drugs to override natural reward processing, as knocking out Rheb prevents drugs from disrupting feeding and drinking behaviors. This indicates that drugs exploit Rheb to remodel neural pathways selectively, adapting brain function toward prioritizing drugs over physiological needs. Craving. Dorsolateral prefrontal cortex, DLPFC, activation increases craving by amplifying the response to drug-related cues through its connection with the OFC, ACC, and NAC. The ventromedial prefrontal cortex, VMPFC, exercises emotional control and inhibits actions. Conditioning and the loss of brain volume interfere progressively cripple these functions. Craving is what makes addiction to drugs so difficult to overcome. The intense craving that follows a cue that has been previously associated with the drug, combined with a stressful state or a dysphoric state, represents an unstoppable force that leads to drug intake and relapse for most addicted individuals. The helplessness of craving. A description of the physiological mechanisms mediating craving cannot convey a drug user's experience of profound helplessness. Their loss of control is intense and pervasive. When they relapse, addicts feel like a stranger in their brain is making disastrous decisions they cannot prevent. They feel helpless, terrified, hopeless, and ashamed. A two-stage cue reactivity model. Hayashi et al. Proposed a two-stage model of cue reactivity. The medial orbitofrontal cortex, MOFC, determines a drug's subjective value based on self-reported craving. The DLPFC combines drug availability and cues in the context of time to adjust the MOFC estimation of drug value. Multiple structures are responsible for craving, the intense motivation to acquire and ingest a drug. The dorsolateral prefrontal cortex, DLPFC, anticipates the effects of drug ingestion and estimates drug availability in the individual situation. The DLPFC communicates its conclusions to the anterior cingulate cortex, orbitofrontal cortex, and nucleus accumbens. The anterior cingulate cortex, ACC, determines stimulus value by comparing the value and cost of acting on the stimulus. The orbitofrontal cortex, OFC, evaluates the drug's subjective value. Finally, the nucleus accumbens, NAC, promotes action in response to craving, communicating with the globus pallidus, GP, of the basal ganglia and the thalamus, thal. The VMPFC can inhibit action and regulate emotion through its connections with the NAC and central nucleus of the amygdala, CEA, which mediates emotional states. Action inhibition and emotional control progressively weaken as experimental drug use transitions to substance use disorder. Neurotransmitters involved in addiction. Although many factors contribute to developing substance use disorders, stress and deficient dopamine receptors, e.g., low density or hypofunctional, may be crucial. Stress. Stress contributes to developing an addiction and relapse. Stress can precipitate mood disorders like depression in vulnerable individuals directly and indirectly through insomnia. Clinicians must treat two disorders when patients abuse drugs to manage their symptoms. Stress from everyday life and drug withdrawal can trigger drug craving and relapse. A reward deficiency hypothesis. Before abusing drugs, addicts may require more powerful stimuli, e.g., drugs, to achieve normal enjoyment. In contrast, non-addicts may find drugs too intense to be enjoyable. After chronic drug use, addicts experience a further weakening of their frontal lobe response to primary reinforcers, e.g., food and drugs, which become less pleasurable. Chronic drug abuse downregulates dopamine receptors and dopamine production, the high is blunted. Diminished positive reinforcement motivates addicts to engage in more frequent, intense, novel, and risky behaviors. How abused drugs affect reward circuitry. Abused drugs directly or indirectly increase dopamine release at the midbrain ventral tegmental area, VTA, which projects upwards to the forebrain nucleus accumbens, amygdala, hippocampus, and prefrontal cortex. This circuit, called the mesolimbocortical pathway, is also activated by natural rewards, e.g., food and intimacy, and participates in non-drug addictions like pathological gambling. Modified artist's caption. Illustration of the reward pathway in the human brain. This pathway is initiated when a pleasurable stimulus, such as food, sex, or drugs, is experienced. The stimulus, upper orange arrow, triggers the release of dopamine, blue arrows, by the ventral tegmental area, VTA, dark blue sphere. Dopamine travels to several different areas of the brain that, in turn, release dopamine, red arrows. These areas include the nucleus accumbens, red sphere, which initiates motor outputs, lower orange arrow, to sustain the pleasurable stimulus, the prefrontal cortex, pink, which shifts focus and planning toward the pleasurable stimulus, and the amygdala, which is involved in conditioned learning and emotions. Descending prefrontal cortex glutamate projections, green arrows, to the nucleus accumbens and VTA produce craving. Addicts experience pleasure when VTA axons release large dopamine pulses to bind to the nucleus accumbens, increasing its firing rate. The amygdala classifies drug-related stimuli as salient and creates emotional memories of previous drug use. The hippocampus helps create declarative memories of their use. Finally, the PFC integrates information regarding drug availability, stimulus value, and subjective value, salience. The PFC plans how to obtain and ingest drugs, associates drug cues with craving, reinforces drug use, and inhibits action and regulates emotion. Craving. Craving emerges from a complex network of subcortical and cortical projections. These include the medial hypothalamus, MH, to the medial prefrontal cortex, MPFC, and the DLPFC, the insula to the ACC, OFC, and habenula, and the descending glutamate pathway from the PFC to the VTA and NAC. The medial hypothalamus. The MH may contribute to craving through its connections with the NAC and VMPFC. Cocaine use disorder, CUD, is associated with decreased MHNAC connectivity. Self-rated cocaine craving is inversely correlated with communication between these structures. Further research is needed to explain how communication disruption translates into motivated behavior. In addition, descending VMPFC-MH connectivity is disrupted in CUD, possibly interfering with VMPFC inhibition of craving. Heightened frontal lobe sensitivity to stressors, drug cues, and the original drug can trigger craving. Any of these sources can contribute to relapse, overwhelming the VMPFC's ability to inhibit drug seeking and ingesting. The insula. The insula, particularly the right anterior insula, communicates with the ACC and OFC. The insula plays a role in nicotine craving and relapse. Animal nicotine research has implicated the insula in relapse following abstinence due to environmental cues. A prospective study of 156 smokers with insula damage due to an ischemic stroke found increased rates of 3-month abstinence. During acute nicotine withdrawal, the insula arbitrates bottom-up versus top-down saliency mechanisms to guide behavior either to pursue smoking or to avoid relapse, and this arbitration is associated with craving and the nicotine withdrawal syndrome. The lateral habenula. The insula communicates with the habenula and may influence the probability of responding in a given context, such as environmental cues. Moreover, animal and human research supports the role of the lateral habenula in the negative affective changes accompanying withdrawal from addicting drugs. Aversive emotional states increase drug cravings and motivate drug relapse. A final common path for craving. A descending glutamate pathway from the PFC to the VTA and nucleus accumbens plays a crucial role in drug craving. Chronic exposure to abused drugs, alcohol, amphetamines, benzodiazepines, cocaine, morphine, and nicotine increases glutamate release at the VTA and nucleus accumbens. Liking and wanting. In healthy individuals, there is a balance between liking and wanting. However, in substance use disorder, liking decreases due to D2 receptor downregulation, and wanting, i.e., craving, increases. This hedonic shift promotes compulsive drug use and relapse. Imagine a chain smoker who compulsively lights cigarette after cigarette without experiencing enjoyment. Mediating neurotransmitters. Although dopamine begins the neurotransmitter cascade, mediating neurotransmitters include acetylcholine, endocannabinoids, endogenous opioids, GABA, glutamate, glycine, and serotonin. Processes that promote cell death in the cortex and limbic system. The loss of cortical and limbic neurons contributes to hypofrontality, which involves reduced PFC perfusion, metabolic activity, and performance of executive functions. This compromises the VMPFC's ability to resist craving and promotes relapse. An addict's brain may not recover after 12 months of sobriety. Chronic drug abuse can contribute to apoptosis or programmed cell death. Drugs like methamphetamine are neurotoxins that target neurons that release dopamine and serotonin. Moreover, the stress produced by chronic substance use disorder can cause chronic elevations of the stress hormone cortisol. High sustained cortisol levels are also neurotoxic, especially to hippocampal neurons concerned with declarative memory, regulating endocrine stress responses, and processing sensory information. Cortisol interferes with repairing damaged neurons via proteins like BDNF and neurogenesis, creating new neurons. Neurogenesis occurs in the hippocampus and possibly the cortex in adult humans. Methamphetamine devastates networks involved in emotion and reward, limbic system, executive functions, PFC, and memory, hippocampus. A compromised prefrontal cortex suffers from impaired long-term planning, decision-making, and moral judgment. Brain recovery depends on the individual and their drug use history. For cocaine use disorder, full recovery of these functions may not occur after 4 months of drug abstinence. Magnetic resonance imaging, MRI, revealed that adult addicts had less cortical volume than controls 1 week and 12 months after abstinence. Addicts with the lowest cortical volumes and surface area were at greater risk for relapsing after 1 year. Hypofrontality promotes relapse. The loss of prefrontal brain volume can produce a phenomenon called hypofrontality, in which PFC metabolic activity and the performance of executive functions are compromised. Hypofrontality reduces the VMPFC's ability to resist craving, anticipate consequences, and inhibit risky behavior. Hypofrontality underlies loss of control, ventromedial PFC, and relapse. Executive functions include the cognitive processes that control attention, behavior inhibition, working memory, cognitive flexibility, reasoning, problem-solving, and planning. The inattentive subtype of ADHD involves impaired continuous attention. Neurofeedback efficacy in substance use disorder. Neurofeedback is an evidence-based treatment for substance use disorder. Socotza and Trudeau assigned a level 3 rating of probably efficacious to the Scott-Kaiser modification of the Penniston Protocol plus Rehabilitation for Substance Use Disorder, SUD. The authors based their findings on 6 randomized controlled trials, 1 quasi-experimental study, and 4 case studies of alcohol, opiate, stimulant, and mixed SUDs. The Scott-Kaiser approach combines training to increase attention, e.g., reinforcing beta and or SMR while suppressing theta, with Penniston's alpha-theta training. Summary. A comprehensive model of addiction combines negative and positive reinforcement. Substance use disorder encompasses craving and loss of reinforcement. the orbitofrontal cortex, anterior cingulate cortex, and nucleus accumbens process craving-related information in response to drug-related cues. The ventromedial prefrontal cortex plays a key role in emotional control and inhibiting actions associated with deleterious consequences. Although many factors contribute to developing substance use disorders, stress and deficient dopamine receptors may be crucial. Addiction involves diverse neurotransmitters, including dopamine, endocannabinoids, endogenous opioids, GABA, glycine, and glutamate. Drug damage to neurons and glial cells, interference with repair, and the suppression of neurogenesis cause hypofrontality and impaired behavioral and emotional control. Neurofeedback is a promising substance use disorder intervention. The Scott-Kaiser modification of the Peniston Protocol plus rehabilitation for substance use disorder has achieved level 3 efficacy based on 6 randomized controlled trials, 1 quasi-experimental study, and 4 case studies.